This is the last Sunday of the year, and so I'm kind of changing it up a little. Throughout the year, I've been teaching through the book of John and talking about the beautiful story, the beautiful gospel of John. And I just kept using the beauty of as all of my titles. And even though this sermon is not at all based in the book of John, I'm still using the title. All right. So the title is The Beauty of the Bible. What an easy sermon title, right? The Beauty of the Bible. I'm excited about this. New Year's is Tuesday. It's a new year on Tuesday, and that means New Year's resolutions, right? How many of you do New Year's resolutions? All right. Well, very cool, all three of you. You can relate to this. Last year, these were the top 10 New Year's resolutions of 2018, and I suppose they probably don't change all that often. Number 10 is take up a new hobby. Have any of you ever made a resolution to start a new hobby? I didn't know that could be. I thought you just start a new hobby. I don't resolve to do it. Get a new job. I'm with you on that. Just kidding. Learn a new skill. Hopefully I can learn to tell a joke a little bit better. John, help me out with it, all right? We'll get there. John, I heard a good one. Actually, I didn't hear it. My wife got me a book of jokes to really help me along. She said, and it said, have you ever seen an elephant hiding in a tree? That's because they're really good at it. Yeah. All right. That's my learning of a new skill. Make new friends. And that's what we're doing this morning. Yeah. All right. Read more. I think all of us have probably tried that one, right? Read more. Number 5, focus on self-care. And it said this exactly. Example, get more sleep. And I was like, that's a really great New Year's resolution. I want to sleep more. So good for you if that's you. If you're going to start your new year in 2019 with a nap, way to go. Here's my recommendation. Don't stay up till midnight if you're going to try and get more sleep. Like, it makes sense. Number 4 is I don't make New Year's resolutions. I don't know how that made the list on the most popular New Year's resolutions, but whatever. Number 3 is save more money. Yeah, right? Number 2, get more exercise. And number 1 is eat healthier. And I think that these are probably pretty accurate, fairly accurate. Those are the most popular New Year's resolutions. Well, I want to tell you about the single best New Year's resolution that you can make. And if you don't want to call it a New Year's resolution, if you just want to consider it a habit or something that you should adopt, and maybe you're already doing it and you can adopt, I just want to talk to you about how awesome it is to read the Bible. It's a really simple message today, the beauty of the Bible. I want to base it out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And here's my first thing I want to present to you, is if you have a Bible with you, that's awesome. You should read it. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one right in front of you, and you can take that home. That's your New Year's gift, or Christmas gift, or Ted's birthday gift. I don't care. You take that Bible home with you and start reading it. Or maybe you're like a person that uses the smartphone for everything, like all of us. So you take that smartphone and go to the YouVersion, go to your app store and download YouVersion, YouVersion, and you can find the Bible, a really excellent Bible app. And on that Bible app, you can look up events and you can see these notes. They'll be brought to you every Sunday morning. You can follow along right there. But you can also sign up for a Bible reading plan. Really cool, simple ones. You can read through the Old Testament in a year. You can read through the New Testament in a year. You can even read through the whole Bible in 90 days if you're that devoted. It's a great habit to make. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about reading the Bible. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 says this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That is the goal of Bible reading. It's the goal of Bible reading that we may be complete, equipped for every good work. When the elders and I, when we meet together on a weekly basis, and our concerns for you and our prayers for you and our thoughts for you, It is all centered around this objective, that you would become complete, mature disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the goal of the church. That's the goal of being a member of the church, of being a part of the church, to help you grow and mature towards Jesus Christ. Oh, I just realized, I keep forgetting this, because I'm talking about how we get together and we pray for you, we talk about you, and we rejoice in the blessings that are going on in your life. And I meant to mention this last week, but I'll mention it now. Ivana Tracochi, we are rejoicing with you as you are now a grandma. Congratulations. Her daughter Mariah gave birth this, what day? On the 22nd, to a little girl named Tirza Marie. Tirza Marie, a beautiful, precious little baby girl. So we are rejoicing with Ivana and with Mariah. So great. We care about you. We care about you growing up and maturing into Jesus Christ. And one way that we can really, really help you is to encourage you to make a habit of daily Bible reading. Make it a habit to read through the Bible. I mentioned that YouVersion app would have a Bible reading schedule that'll work for you. We also have done this every year for as long as I can remember. Inside of your bulletin, you see this Bible reading schedule. Now, you don't have to use this schedule, but it's a great schedule. It's a simple schedule. It gives you a couple of chapters every single day, and by the end of the year, you've read through the entire Bible. I encourage you, try this one if you don't have one. You know, take this one and use a paper Bible if you're old-fashioned like me, or you can just use it on your smartphones or your computer. Find a way, daily Bible reading. And so this morning I want to give you four benefits of daily Bible reading to encourage you to adopt this daily habit. Now some of you might be saying, well, I already have that daily habit, so I'm just going to tune out and not listen to this message. I don't think that will happen, because if you do have that daily Bible reading habit, then you're pretty much on that growth path, on that maturing path, and that makes the preached word that much more coming alive and exciting and a delight in. So here's the first benefit that I want to tell you about. It's teaching. Teaching. This is, again, what Paul wrote to Timothy, that we become wise to salvation through scriptures because of the teaching of the Word of God that comes when we read it. Reading the Bible daily opens our eyes to see the majesty of our God and to understand both the way the world should be and the way the world is. So what happens when we're taught about something? When you're taught about something, that thing is presented to you, and then now information is presented about that thing, right? This is how we learn. Here's the thing, the object, the idea, the concept, the equation. It's presented, and now I'm going to give you more information so you can better understand that thing. Well, what happens when we open up the Bible is we're getting three real clear ideas presented to us. The first is who God is, the majesty, the wonder, the power, the attributes, the character of who God is presented on every single page of the Scriptures. We need to see God in His glory. When you don't read the Bible, you are left to try to find the glory of God in nature. Now, it's there, but you're limiting your exposure to God's glory. This book will expose you that much more, and not only will it expose you that much more, but it will amplify the things that you are seeing in nature about who God is. So open our eyes to that. But not only will it open our eyes to who God is, it will also open our eyes to the way the world works and how the way the world ought to work. So let me read to you Romans chapter 15, verses 2 through 7. So it says it this way. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, I like this passage of Scripture because the central focus of it is that there's endurance and encouragement that comes through Scripture. And as that's that central focus, as we put the Scripture foremost and the reading of the Scripture foremost, what happens through again, endurance and encouragement of Scripture. Endurance, meaning we're perpetually going back to the Scriptures over and over and over. What happens when we do that is we get a better picture of who God is and a better picture of how things are and how things should be. Now, some of you are parents, and some of you are children, and some of you, for Christmas, got video games. All right? I don't know if you're a parent or a child. Anybody here get some video game-related things for Christmas? Oh, I see that hand. All right, yes. Tim, Paul, all right. You got some video games. Now, some of you, maybe on the different spectrum, video games, those are terrible, they're horrible for the world. All right, yeah, sure. Let me explain something about the appeal of video games, because it's the same appeal as movies, it's the same appeal as stories, it's the same appeal as novels, it's the same appeal of storytelling. The idea that comes through in all of these things over and over and over is that there's the same narrative arc, which is something is wrong with the world, something is broken, something is not working, it's not the way it should be, it should be like this, but it's like this, and there needs to be a resolution, there needs to be a rescue, I need to intervene into that which is not working, and I need to bring about something to work the right way. Now, again, there's little nuances, and ultimately, the reason we enjoy the video games is because we're shooting and killing things in order to make things the way that they ought to be, right? Generally speaking. And some of them are pretty crazy. And I don't really know how that fits into Tetris, which is the only video game I've played. I mean, it's not the way it should be. It never is, because of that one, like, that triple piece. It just doesn't fit in there. Whatever. Oh, it's frustrating. But all of us, there's something hardwired inside of us that makes us look at that which is wrong and say, I need to fix that, which is why we complain all the time. Because there's always something wrong that we need to fix. There's always something broken that needs to be repaired. There's always something that is not right or not really the way that I want it to be. But if we're left to our own devices to determine that, we're going to go askew. If we instead have a habit of daily reading the Word of God, that will show us the way things should be versus the way things are. Because the way things should be is that which is made after the image of the glory of God. So the first thing that we get from daily Bible reading is we get the exposure that brings about the teaching, giving us the right understanding of how things should be versus how they are, and also how we get there, which kind of leads us to our next one, which is reproof. Now, this is part of the reason we don't like reading the Bible, because it reproves us. Because the thing that we start to read, what's wrong with the world is me. I don't want that. Reproof. Reading the Bible daily allows us to truly see our failures and our sins. Oh, yeah. It's true. When you make a habit of daily Bible reading, you're going to say, man, I'm the biggest problem in the world. Now, because if you read the Bible and you're reading it to say, you know, that person that's really annoying me, where's the Bible verse about what's wrong with them? You're reading it the wrong way. You need to read the Bible in such a way that you're the one that is being reproved by it. You allow that Word of God to show you, again, going back to the teaching, what's wrong with the world and to see that it's something that's going on inside of you. This is how James wrote it in James 1:19-25. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I could just pause right there and, like, are you already immediately aware that you're what's wrong? Right? So let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he is blessed in what he is in his doing. So this is what happens when we look in the Word. It's a mirror, the scriptures say. It's a mirror. We look in it and we go, oh my gosh, I have something in my teeth. Right? You know, what's the deal with that? We get so frustrated. And like, if somebody comes to you and says, like, oh, you have something in your teeth, we're always kind of appreciative, but we're yet at the same time, if we see somebody with something in their teeth, we're always like, I don't know, should I tell them? You know, what's... You're doing that person a favor, but you don't think you're doing that person a favor. You don't want to be put in that awkward situation. What you're hoping for, right, is that they somehow look into a mirror and figure it out. Right? That's what everybody would rather have, that than to have to face the awkwardness of telling someone that they have something in their teeth. Am I alone on this? The same thing goes with reading the Bible. It's so much more preferable if we're all reading the Bible and being exposed to our own flaws and failures than to have somebody come and tell us, hey, dude, you're messing up. Now, again, this is why it's a good thing to be a part of a church family. It's why I'm so grateful for Joe and for Steve as co-elders with me, because they do it every single week. They tell me. They're always telling me that I got something wrong. And I really appreciate that. That's also why God gave me a wonderful wife. Praise God. She's really good at it. You know? And it's amazing how much stuff I get stuck in my teeth. The Bible, rightly understood, will show us that the damage that we are causing to others. And we need to see that. I was reading this past week about the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., which I had the privilege of seeing last May. I went to. Amazing. If you're ever in Washington, D.C., I highly recommend it. But one of the new exhibits that they've put out is a what they call a slave Bible. And this slave Bible was the Bible that the quote-unquote Bible that these missionaries, they came in and they said, we want to evangelize the slaves. And so the slave master said, well, let us look at the Bible that you're presenting to them, and we're going to take out anything that we think is going to be, that is going to incite rebellion. So all the parts that we don't like of the Bible, we're going to get rid of those in order that that Bible can still be, you know, they can receive that Bible, and we don't have to worry about it doing anything we don't want it to do. Right? So they started chopping up pages of the scripture. They started ripping pages out. And the next thing you know, 80% of the Bible was gone. They were left with 20%. 20%. And that Bible, you can go see it. It's 150, 180 years old, and it's over there in the Museum of the Bible. So it's right there. And now you will hear some people out there say, well, the Bible promotes slavery. The Bible promotes slavery. Yet the facts that when it actually came to the Bible being presented to slaves, they took out 80% of it. So what happens when we are daily reading the Bible, not just the parts that we like, but also the parts that we don't like, is we get that reproof. That reproof comes in and it shows us where we are going askew, where we are going, what we are doing wrong. And not only does it show us that, but it points us, it fixes us, it points us into the right place. Revelation 3:19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. So be zealous and repent. Those whom I love, I reprove. This third thing that that daily Bible reading does is it provides correction. So it's not just the reproof, but it's the correction. Correction is a very, very interesting concept. Again, we don't like being exposed necessarily to what we're doing wrong, but when we are exposed, we feel this guilt, we feel this shame, we feel this fear. But there's also a relief that comes when we respond appropriately, which is the corrective work. Reading the Bible daily allows us to be strengthened by God's love for us. This is the correction that the Scriptures bring. The Scriptures don't just come in and say, get your act together. They don't just come in and weigh you down and say, this is what's wrong with you. This is all of the sins that you're committing. This is all of your transgressions, and there is no hope for you. Neither do they come and say, here's the way that you can fix all of it. Instead, what they do is they come and they say, here's what's wrong, but here's the fix. It's only one thing could save you. Only one thing. And it's not your own works. It's not, get this, it's not your daily Bible reading that will save you. It's not your good habits that will save you. It's not your church attendance. It's not your giving. It's not your serving. It's not your prayers. There's only one thing that can save you. It's the supernatural interposition of the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ in your life. There's only one thing that saves you. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It is by grace, it is through faith alone that we are saved. An example of this is Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. Behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said to her, woman, you are freed from your disability. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. That word made straight is the word corrected. It's the same word that we're seeing here that the Scriptures do. That Paul says, the scriptures teach you, reprove you, and correct you. That is, they take the person that's hunched over, that their back is twisted and mangled, and the vertebrae are broken and wounded, and they can't stand up straight. And he does for her miraculous on-the-spot back surgery, which, as you know, there's really no more complicated and no less successful surgery in our present medical condition than back surgery. Anybody who knows anybody who's had back surgery knows there's a very, very low success rate. It's really hard to fix someone's broken back, to fix someone's chiropractic problems. It's hard. It's challenging. It's complex. There's bones and there's nerves and there's sinews and there's all sorts of things, muscles. And Jesus just puts his hand on her and she, boom, 18 years of brokenness eliminated like that, corrected just like that. The correction. This is what happens to us every single day that we read the Word. Every single day that you make that habit to open up the Word and to allow that Word to come into your life, you read that Word, it's correcting not your back, but your soul, your spirit. And it's, how is it correcting you? Not by saying, change your ways. I mean, Jesus didn't say, now here's the trick, lady. I got a great idea for you. Here's a plastic hoop. And if you lay on this plastic hoop and you twist backwards and then you do this and you do that four times a day for 20 minutes a day, then your back's going to get straightened out. Right? Any of you tried that? Is it working? All right, it's getting there, right? No, he said, you're healed. You're healed. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel doesn't come in and say, here's the process for you to get yourself right with God. It says, if you will receive the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the one who, for your sin, died on the cross, the punishment that you deserve, he died for you. And for your justification, he rose from the grave, and he is alive now, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and rose again for your sins, you will be saved. you will be saved. It's that simple, the gospel message. But it's so easy for me to forget it. And that's why I need the Word of God. I need to read the Word so that every day my heart can be strengthened, corrected, set right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, don't be led astray by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those who have devoted to them. Your heart must be strengthened by grace. The grace that comes from that the Word of God, the gospel message that Jesus Christ saves us. So we're taught, reproved, and corrected all by reading the Word. Again, I encourage you to do it daily. Use a Bible reading schedule. I'm not saying you have to read through the Bible in a year, although if you do, it's awesome. But just make it a habit to be reading the Word. And the fourth thing, the final thing I want to encourage you by daily Bible reading, it will train you in righteousness. Training in righteousness. Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. What does it mean to be trained in righteousness? Reading the Bible daily is how we learn to be what we are called to be, God's children. You are called to be a child of God. The work that Jesus did for you was to make you his brother, make you a son or a daughter of God the Father. We're trained in righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 11. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we've all had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Our daily exposure to the Word of God is how God trains. That word discipline is the same word train. It's how God trains us for righteousness, trains us to reflect the image of God which he is creating and implementing in our lives. He trains us through the Scriptures. As I began to ponder this idea of being trained in righteousness, being trained to own my identity in Christ as a son of God, I began to think of my own relationship with my daughter and how important it is to train your children. And how you don't just train, all of you, or a few of you that are not homeschool parents, right? If you're a homeschool parent, then maybe you do have an actual classroom that you do training for your kid, right? But if you're not, then you are training your child all the time. Every conversation, every interaction, everything is constantly training them. But there's sometimes that are more focused. And for me and my daughter, that time that is so precious is simple, end of the night, end of the day, reading a story. Right? Now, any of you have that experience as a child where your parents, your mom or your dad would read you a story? Anybody? Right? You remember that? You guys, ask your parents to read you a story tonight. That'll be really cozy. Have them snuggle up in your bed, too. This is how it goes. It's a daily habit. My daughter says, "All right, Dad, come in and read me a story." And I'll sit next to her, and I'll read her a story, and I'll show her the words because we're training her to read, right? She's in kindergarten, and that's what happens. Training her to read. We're also training her that there's the principles or the moral or the point of the story. which in Emilio Bedelia's case is just to be confused about words, but I don't know what she's learning from that. But you're training. But training requires close, personal contact. You have to get near in order to do it effectively. Now, as I thought about that, about being trained, right? Some of you are going to begin this new year with getting a personal trainer at the gym, right? Maybe you'll think that you can do a personal trainer on your app. It's not going to work, okay? It's not going to work. But you get somebody that you get there to the gym and they get up close and personal and they tell you, do this, work this, you can do it. They encourage you. Get this. Think about this. God, when he gave us this word, he didn't just say, read it and figure it out. He said, here's the word, here's the scriptures, and I'm sending to you to dwell inside of your heart the very person of God, the Holy Spirit. I am going to dwell inside of your heart, and I am going to make those words make sense. I'm going to train you to be the child of God that you've been called to be. So every time you open up the word in your habit of daily Bible reading, you are exposing yourself to be trained by that indwelling Holy Spirit. He's coming right alongside you, right into your heart. And he's saying, let's make sense of this. Let's teach you how you should be, who you're called to be. The Holy Spirit comes and brings the words to life and tells you how much Jesus loves you, what he's done to save you. He teaches you, he reproves you, he corrects you, he trains you in righteousness. So my encouragement to you this year, as we begin a new year, is so simple. Make it a habit of daily Bible reading. It's the greatest habit that you can begin. It's the greatest New Year's resolution you can make. As we close our service this morning, I invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray for you and pray this blessing into your life. And as I say this prayer over you, it's just a prayer of blessing, but I'm also going to pray, if you today say, I really want to embrace that habit of daily Bible reading, would you pray for me that I would do that? If you're like, you don't have to call it a New Year's resolution. You call it whatever you want. As I pray this prayer, just simply raise your hand as a declaration of faith, and you're saying to God, God, help me to daily read the Word of God. And at the end of the service, we'll have leaders up here who will pray with you. If you're hearing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time, and believe in, you want prayer for salvation, prayer for healing, prayer for provision, prayer for anything, we have our leaders up here who want to pray with you. But at this time, it's a prayer of blessing. Jesus, I thank you for this church. I thank you for those who are here today who you've called, you've chosen, you orchestrated their life and their events so that they could be here today to hear this message of how much you love them. And Lord, I pray especially for those today who want to make a commitment to reading your word in 2019. I pray that the word just comes so alive to them. I pray that every time they read a chapter, every verse that they read, every page of the scripture would speak to them of how great your love is for them. I pray that they would see in those verses, they would see in the stories, they would see in the teaching, they would see how amazing you are and how it is through your salvation and through your grace that you have saved them. Strengthen them by your word. Strengthen them by your word. Lord, I pray for any person here today, Lord, who doesn't know you, or who is still on the fence about whether or not they want to follow you. I pray you call them. I pray that you speak into their heart right now so loudly, so undeniably, that they can't but resist. Lord, but they would come and respond to you and say, I want to follow Jesus. Lead us, God. Lead each and every one of us, grow us, mature us, so that we can be disciples, fully mature, fully devoted, fully in love with you. Let your salvation radiate from every part of our being. And I pray this blessing upon this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.